What a wonderful time of worship we had, and I just saw that just how our worship just raised up and how God just happy to see his people so happy. Oh. What a wonderful privilege it is for me to share the word of God this morning with you. For those who don't know me, I'm Dani van Jaarsveld, and I'm married to Janie, that beautiful lady sitting there, and we've got 5 kids. 4 of them are here this morning, and Bernard and his lovely wife, they serve in Josh Jen in Stellenbosch. So, it's great to be with you. And can I just pray? Our Father, thank you for this wonderful privilege that we can share time in your word, Lord. Holy Spirit, I am totally dependent on you, that you will speak through me, Lord, into the hearts of each person here, Lord, that you will change us, that you will equip us, and that the seed will bear fruit in the hearts of the people, Lord. Amen. Okay, so yeah, my goal is this morning just to focus on Jesus. Like always when I preach, focus is on Jesus. And this morning specifically on the church of Jesus. He's the head of the church and how amazing he designed the church. A couple of weeks ago, Scobbard preached on how important it is to join a local church. And I just felt to continue on that and just to say, okay, but when we're in a church, how do we fit into a church and how we can add value and get value to the maximum in that church? And actually, in COVID, I realized the importance of church. In COVID, we were all separate. We all had streaming functions, listened to sermons, listened worship music, but you felt alone. You felt like you missed something. And there I realized how beautiful the church was put together, all the different elements of the church. And sadly, many people, they just see church as listening to a sermon, maybe sing worship songs. But there's so much more. And this morning I want to focus on that and say, okay, but how beautiful the church is, how functional it is, and how we can add value to the church and how we can get value to the church. And Jesus explains this amazing design by comparing church with another amazing design, and that's the body, the human body. And so this morning we're just going to read 3 scripture passages on that body, and I'm going to explain a couple of things to that. So the first one is in Romans 12. I'm going to read the whole scripture and then point out a couple of points there. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Beautiful scripture. And this one, it starts a few couple of verses. Those are the equalizers. Do not think of yourself more. And that's so amazing to think that the fact that I'm holding the mic is not more important than Tinky doing the sound at the back, and Reinhardt. The person who's leading the church is not more important than the person who welcomed the people at the door and showed them the love of God when they walked in here. How beautiful that is, that each one of us has a function and no one is more important than the other one. So I want to encourage you this morning, whatever you can bring to this body, it's important. Don't think of yourself less. Just bring it. It all's got a function. Then, beautiful, also in this scripture, it says that we all belong to each other. So, in Christ, we through many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So, in Josh Jen, we've got this saying that your fridge is mine, my fridge is yours. But we can actually make it bigger and say, my gifts is yours, your gifts are mine. What I can bring is yours, what you can bring is mine. Just think of that. We benefit, you benefit from me, I benefit from you. Another example that I use when I think of this is like a bring and eat. You've ever been to that, where everyone brings what they can do, and then you put it all on the table and you eat? Now, in a previous congregation, we were, every once in a while we have like a fellowship Sunday, where each one brings something. So maybe it's a soup and bread day. Then everybody brings the soup. So all through that Saturday, I can see Janie, her speciality is like a meat and vegetable soup. I can see how that is prepared. And I can smell it, and I can and I know that one is good. And then the morning, I see each woman rocking up there with their own one. This one's got a curry thing, and that one's got like a vegetable thing, and chicken and fish and everything. And then all through the service, I would sit and smell those soups. They're all at the back. And I get so hungry. And I know that, okay, when they say, go for it, then I'm going to go there. And I would take my bowl and I would stop at each pot and taste a little bit and taste a little bit and go through. And then I'll go back for seconds to those that I like more. And this is how church is. Each one of you bring what you're good at. You put it on the table and we all share. So the question is, what do you bring to the feast? This morning when you woke up, did you ever come into your mind that I need to bring something to share with the others? Maybe what's your expectation today? What are you going to get from others in this bring and eat? Now, Sundays are difficult to share all the gifts. That's why we don't have only Sunday services. We have community groups. We have fellowship together. We've got coffees. We have life together. As we have life together, you can bring those gifts. Those gifts are not only for Sundays. It is for us as a body living life together. Now, these gifts, let's quickly run through these gifts that they list in this Romans passage. The first one is, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. I'm going to skip that one. I'm going to get to that later. If it is serving, then serve. The amazing thing of serving is that each one of us can serve. Whatever you do, serve. And the other amazing thing is that as you serve, you become part. If you're a visitor here and you feel like a visitor, just start serving. Just put on that blue crew bib and serve. You'll start becoming part. The most beautiful example of how you love grows as you serve is probably a mother. We had a couple of newborns here, so we saw the suffering of the woman through the pregnancy. And then we heard this morning that Albert is not sleeping well. So as the parents are serving those newborns, as you just give and give and give, there's a bond growing. And that's the amazing thing. So if you haven't served yet, start serving. In your life group, in your community group, start serving. Do something. Take initiatives. Say, okay, I'll bring food, whatever, and just serve. That, then you'll become part of that community group. Teaching, other gift that they list here is teaching. I'm going to get to that later. Then, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. The other day, I had to work on the Saturday, so I sat at home. Now, our house is about 100 meters from Chokis, the primary school, and they had a sports day there. And that whole day, as I sat there working, I heard parents cheering. And then I suddenly realized that there's those kids playing, all the parents are just cheering and cheering. And I realized that we all need encouragement. And the sad part is this. When you're an adult, there's very few people cheering for you. We need encouragement, each one of us. So if you're an encourager, encourage. The people need it. Not a one person will say, no, sorry, I actually don't need encouragement. If you figure out what's going to happen here on Sunday, go and encourage the people that's going to do certain things. In your community group, encourage your community leader. Encourage people who must do everything. Encourage is one of those gifts that we need. Each person needs it. So be an encourager. The next one, if it's giving, give generously. My wife is a giver. Janie is a giver. You would not in 1,000 years get her to stand here and preach. But her gift is giving. Whenever there's food, there's extra. For us, some get sent out. She's a bread baker. Bread, one for us, the other one has been given away. That's just how she is. On Friday, there's a lady, a friend of hers, that's a single parent, and the lady and the two kids, they took on this long journey. They're going to go to Cape Town. But it was a huge effort. They had to save, put money away, and a big thing. And on Friday, Janie made up a whole parcel of potkos. And there was even an envelope with some cash in, and on Friday evening she delivered it. And yesterday we were driving, and then I heard her listening to the voice note received from that lady. And what a beautiful message that was, just how thankful she is and how loved they felt by this person with a giving heart. So if you're a giver, give. The body of Christ need that. If it is to lead, back to the scripture, if it is to lead, do it diligently. Now, we've got an amazing leadership team in this church, but it's not all about them. A beautiful example was when we moved into this building, how many people came in and led other people. Some people walked in and said, okay, but the colors, we need to paint this place. Okay, we think if this is like a dark charcoal, it will work nice. And they just took the initiatives and got a couple of people painting and all the different people. There was people walking in here and saying, okay, if we can have the children there and some of the children here and some of the children around the corner, it will work well. And they led us through that. And now see how beautiful it works. So whatever your calling is, do it. If it's a small project, if it's a big thing, if it's a community group, I love it when I see on the groups, hey, we're going to run in stuck in the mud, or we're going to take initiatives, or we're going to do this, or we're going to have a movie night. Do it. The body of Christ need that. If it is to lead, lead. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You get these people, they are huggers. Whenever somebody goes through a bad time, they just care for you. In the world that we're living in, people are going through tough times. They need you. And I really trust God that He will fill you up. That as you show compassion, you're actually displaying something of Christ. And as you give, as you encourage, as you show mercy, that God will fill you up. We need those. We need the show mercy giver, or those who can show mercy. Okay, I'm going to jump to the next scripture, is Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The full body, as each part does its work. What's your part, and do you do your work? So I'm going to just focus on the first two verses. If verse 11 and 12. So just first verse 12, that Ephesians 4:12. That's where we get this move. A group of churches working together is focus is the name comes from this Ephesians 4:12. To equip the people for the works of service. So our 4:12 movement is this global partnership of churches longing to live together this New Testament model, and as we help each other to equip the saints for the service. But I want to focus on those five ministry gifts. Now, for me, those five ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I grew up in a traditional church, and there was like one professional. He had to study, and he was the dominie, and every one of us just came and we just listened. It was like he had the gifts and we would just come and listen. And even later when I joined a church similar to this, Josh Jen, I had this mindset of they were the full-time elders. They had all these gifts and it's like this professional gifts, these ministry gifts. And that's not how it is. Those gifts are for all of us. And I want to share for you a very practical example to explain this. It's from this book, Culture of Honor. He's got this explanation. He says, imagine there's an accident and a couple of people arrive at the accident, how each one of them will do different things. So I'm going to just read it. It says, I can best introduce the attributes of the fivefold anointings by describing what might happen if we all arrived together at a scene of a car accident. The pastor is the first one out of his car. He scrambles to assess the situation and begins a triac approach in applying first aid to injured victims. He gathers blankets, jackets, water, and everything else he can find to try and comfort them. He surveys the situation to see if anything is threatening the safety both of those who are receiving care and those who have been drawn by the scene of the accident. He talks to each person to find out what is his name, marital statements, whether he or she has children. He gathers vital sign information and everything available, emergency contact information, in order to help them, the emergency response when they arrive. He brings a sense of calm to the situation, and each person feels genuinely feeling care and connection to that pastor. That's a pastor. Pastor literally means shepherd. And a shepherd, if you look at the Greek, poimen, refers to a person who guides, feeds, protects, and cares for the sheep. That's the person in your community group who always remembers the birthdays. That's the guy who just phoned you to say, I'm just phoning to find out how are you doing. He cares. That's the person who knows all the names of your children and everything. He's a caring person. Always look out for you. That's the person who organizes meals when a person is sick. John 10 verse 11 says, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The pastors amongst us display that part of Christ in the church and in the community. If you're that person, keep going. We need love, the caring heart of God. We need to see that. In your community group, if that's your calling, just step up and do it more. Remember, that's your gift that you bring. That's your bring and eat. Keep doing it. Then the teacher is next on the scene. He studies the situation in order to figure out what caused the accident. He steps back, notices the patterns and skid marks on the distance the car moved before and after the impact. He estimates the speed of each car at the point of impact. Drawing from his deep knowledge of driver's manual and traffic laws, he's developed a theory about who was at fault. His conclusion is that, so he's the guy who actually looks at the big picture, figure out how it happened and explains things. So in your community group, the teacher would be the person who helps you to break open the scripture. Who's got an interest in what was the Greek of that word? Who can tell you a little bit more, who wants to study what was the history, the context in which that was? Our teaching is my gift. I like to explain difficult things in the easy way. Whenever I read something or look at something, that's my gift. I want to be able to explain the whole gospel to you in a couple of minutes, but also dig deeper into that forever to explain that. Not only in biblical terms, but like things like raising children. We had that chaos of raising 5 kids, and through that process, I identified a couple of principles there. And I just love it to share. Like in two weeks' time, I'll be sharing on the principles of raising kids, a series at one of the other 412 churches in town. Just love it. If that's you in your community group, go to the leader and say, hey, whenever we're going to discuss a passage, I'll explain something just as introduction. I'll just add some more to it. And the leader, you can point to that guy and say, okay, what do you want to add before we have a discussion on this? If you're a teacher, gather information, prepare yourself. Whenever you read something, put it there, because one day I'll read it, like your whole library. Build up a library, equip yourself, get commentaries on the Bible. Figure out how you can explain things to people. People need that. The body of Christ need you. The evangelist arrives on the scene and asks everyone lying there in a safe place, thanks to the pastor. He asks them, if you were to die as a result of your injuries, do you know where you would go, heaven or hell? He then notices that there's a large gathering of bystanders and people in their cars who have pulled over to watch. He begins to address the larger crowd in the same question. There are no guarantees that you will make it home safely. Do you know where you would go? People give their heart to the Lord right there and there on the side of the road. That's the evangelist. A very good friend of mine, Nathan Pillay, he's this guy, wherever he goes, he connects something to the gospel. Whether he plays golf, people buying at his shop, at the airport. Thanks, Jenny. The carer. Thanks, Jenny. Uncle Jenny. He always evangelized people. There, my good friend Quibus. Quibus, just lift up your hand. The one with the armband on. There, he's not like a Julie guy, but he evangelized everybody that walks around. So on his arm, he's got like those six colors that we explain the gospel. And when somebody asks him, what's those things on your arm? He shares the gospel. He's always ready. The evangelist amongst us fill up this church. How many of you, if I were to ask you, how did you come here? No, Vice invited me, or Albert invited me, or whoever. You're always inviting people to come. Hey, come see what's happening there. You always reach out to people. We need you. Keep on inviting. Keep on sharing. Keep on sharing the gospel. That is our big commission. If this is you, trust for more opportunities. Go on outreaches. Go on crusades. Look for opportunities. Find ways how to turn every conversation into opportunity to share the gospel. The prophet knew this was going to happen because he had a dream about it the previous night. Because everyone in the dream had survived the accident, he rebukes the spirit of death and declares with great faith and anointing that all shall live and none shall die. A prophet is somebody that brings God's message to the people. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. If that is you, keep on prophesying. To speak to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. My life has been greatly impacted by people who would share words from me. Maybe a friend of mine who's now leading a church in Harry Smith one day called me out of the blue and said he had this dream. He said, I don't know what it means, but I just share it with you. And after that, that shaped the ministry that we had in the townships, fighting, getting involved in a lot of spiritual battles there, spiritual warfare. But I was encouraged, me and my family, because of a picture that he shared with us. Last week, I was thinking of this sermon that I'm going to preach, and there was a couple of options. So last week during worship, Rudai came and she said, I've got a dream. And she shared it with Temba. Temba was leading the meeting. She said, I had a dream of this bunch of flowers. Some had long stems, some have short stems. But God wants to use each one of them, whether long stem or short stem. I said, thanks, Rudai. That is my confirmation that I need to preach this morning. About whatever is your gift, God's got a plan for you. Just for her. And I could see when she brought it, she was actually nervous because is this it? But I said, okay, but that spoke to me. If that is you, in your community group, use that gift. And I must say, it's many times it's very daunting to go and actually share a word. But play safe and go and bounce it off your community leader first. Say, listen, I just want to bounce this off. I feel this word for that person. Do you think I can share it? And then take your community leader with, because we want to be wise in how we share God's prophetic words. That's why when we've got a service here, each one with the prophetic words come and tell the person who's leading the church, who's leading the meeting, and you bounce it off, and there's safety in the council of the leaders. But share it. So we want to be wise, but we also don't want to miss out. Okay. The apostle is next on the scene, or is also on the scene. He prays for the injured. He invites the supernatural healing touch of God into the scene. He begins to tell testimonies of when he has been on the scene of an accident and witnessed the power of God manifest itself in those situations. The faith level of the people began to rise. He then asks if anyone can feel heat in their hands. He puts those who raise their hands to work, praying for the others to be healed. He demonstrates to all who are near that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Josh Gen, in the whole 412 group, we've got a lot of amazing people with apostolic gifts. People who are building churches, expand into new areas, raising up new leaders, following the example of Peter and Paul, just going about building the kingdom of God. So in my life, I've seen apostolic people visiting our churches and showed us the supernatural gifts of God. And what a wonderful faith builder it was. In your community group, they need you. As life together, we need you. The person who's got this great faith, pray for people. Expect miracles to happen. Have a heart to go and expand the kingdom. The beautiful thing is, if you're part of Josh Gen, they've got a big heart to use apostolic people. The sky is the limit. Just pushing in, develop the gift, that apostolic gift. So as I explained these gifts, you should know which are your gifts. And I want to challenge you to bring it. To bring it to this body. And for the others, I want to challenge you to receive the gift as we bring it. When you come here on a Sunday, or when you go to a community group, be prepared to share your gift. And for the others, be prepared to receive the gift. Remember the example of the bring and eat. You bring what you've got, what God has placed in you, and we all share together. This is the beauty of the church. This is the beauty of the body of Christ, all working together, each one do their part. No one more important than the other one. Just each one doing their thing. Okay, the last scripture that I want to focus on is 1 Corinthians 12. I'm first going to read the last couple of verses from verse 27, just to show that this chapter ends in the body of Christ, or referring back to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles. Then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do you speak in tongues? Do you interpret? Now eagerly desire these gifts. So there's also a command to start desiring these gifts. Have a deep desire of those. But I want to rather focus on a little bit earlier in this chapter 12. The gifts of the Spirit. Now they are well known. But I'm going to read the old passage, and then there's a certain verse that I'm going to focus on. Certain verse that actually changed my whole thinking and understanding of this gift of the Spirit. Okay. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each the manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. To one there is through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to the other a message of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit, to the other one faith, by the same Spirit, to the other one gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to the other one miraculous powers, to the other one prophecy, to another distinguish between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, these gifts of the spirits, I always had a deep desire, expectation to receive these gifts. All Christians wanted to receive these gifts. Through my years in working with leaders in the township, if I ask what should I talk about, they should say, just talk to about the gifts of the Spirit. We really want the gift of the Spirit. Each one of them want to really have that gift to actually pray for sick people and they get healed. And then we would think, okay, what's your gift? What's your gift? And then one day, as I prepared this, I actually read this verse 7. And it just came, the penny dropped. Now verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. The manifestation of the Spirit. Now, this is in all the translations. I read now from the NIV. The ESV says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. The New King James says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, the word manifest typically means to show, display, or reveal something clearly. Manifestation is to show, display, or reveal something clearly. And then the penny dropped. I would never own the gift. It's the Spirit who lives in me that manifests Himself in these gifts. And that changed my whole attitude. Suddenly, I realized that I carry the gift, and whenever I get into a situation, I must be there, a vessel for that gift to manifest through me, to overflow, to flow through me. Because in sometimes, you need the spirit of miracles. In other times, you need a different spirit. Maybe there's a sick person. In sometimes, you need to distinguish between spirits. Sometimes you need a word of knowledge. So now, I don't have to pick and choose and say, God, I really want that gift. Because in other times, I would need a different gift. But the pressure is off me when I say, it's not about me, it's about the Spirit in me. And I must just be a carrier of that gift. And as I stand before a person, maybe need to pray, say, God, just manifest yourself in whatever way you need to manifest yourself.